You know, the Lord is faithful, ain't he? I just called a name about 10 minutes ago. Been praying and interceding. And then the one that we prayed for strutted herself right on up in here this morning. Sister Carrie Perry. You're looking so good. And we're going to keep praying for you. Amen. Looking so good. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, you know, she's going through all sorts of treatment, and it is both exhausting and painful. But then she had the nerve to show up at our Spring Fest with some children from her neighborhood. She said, Pastor, they need this. And so I just put them in my car and brought them on up here. So that's the selflessness of Sister Carrie Perry. One more hand of praise for her right there. What a blessing, what a blessing. Would you all please stand with me for the reading of the word? Find your Bibles, your devices, whatever you whatever copy of the scriptures you have, and turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to read just a couple of verses, beginning at verse 28. And then we're going to breathe a word of prayer and then allow a video to kind of capture the essence, a video to capture the essence of what we're dealing with on today. Amen. Even as you stand, give God some finger snaps for this music ministry. Come on. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. We got our guest musician again. Amen. Switched it up a little bit over there. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Those that are found it say word. Listen as I read from the Christian Standard Bible. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let us say amen.
Amen.
Heads about, eyes are closed. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Father, we've gathered in this holy place to worship you, to give you honor and praise, to lift you up, Father God, because you alone are worthy. Father, in this very moment, we are just overwhelmed with joy based upon your goodness. Now, Father, we understand that everything in our lives is not good, but we're just grateful for your goodness as you continue to lead us and guide us in the way that you'd have us to go. So Father, as we reach this moment of the preaching hour, I pray that you would grant us focus, attention upon your word. Father, I pray that I would not do anything to distract, but to point others to Jesus. Father, I pray for that young man in our midst today who is struggling with issues of the heart, his emotions, his mind. I pray for that young lady under the sound of my voice. And Father, she's troubled, disturbed, frustrated. Father, I pray that every single one of us would find what you have offered to us on today. Father, I'm asking that no one would leave the way that they have come. And it would be an improvement. It would be a step towards their destiny and fulfillment as individuals in Christ Jesus. Have your way in this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Bread fell from heaven, dry bones came to life, seas were parted, and we still think our problems are too big for God. It's not that He can't handle our struggles, it's that we are struggling to hand it over to Him. Our small view of God makes our problems look bigger, but if we understood His strength, we could find rest in our weakness.
Understood certain things, we could find rest. I want to preach from the subject, simple subject, and that is real satisfaction. Real satisfaction. Real satisfaction. At the top of your sermon notes, you'll find our message moment, which captures the essence of our thought for today. Here is what it says: Christ offers healing, lifting, and peace that cannot be found elsewhere. Christ offers healing, lifting, and peace that cannot be found elsewhere. This past weekend, I had a discussion with the pastor, and that discussion spoke directly to our series of being emotionally fit. This pastor shared with me how during a season in his life, he found himself under the weight of life. A mentor of his suffered a public moral failure. Several key members left his congregation over some trivial stuff, as he said. His schedule had become extremely hectic, and a dear friend had passed away. He was returning home from a men's retreat that had gone extremely well when suddenly he felt a sharp, severe pain in his chest. Now, this pastor jogs 3 to 5 miles per day. He eats healthily and takes extremely great care of himself. Yet, the pain that he experienced was so excruciating, it could not be ignored. As he made his way to the hospital and allowed them to run some tests, it was discovered that he was in fact suffering a panic attack. He said, "Brown, do you know that panic attacks feel as badly as heart attacks?" A panic attack is the abrupt onset of intense fear or discomfort that reaches a peak within minutes and includes at least 4 of the following symptoms. Number 1, palpitations, pounding heart rate or accelerated heart rate, sweating, trembling or shaken, sensations of shortness of breath or the feeling of being smothered. After some intervention of a counselor, the reduction of his schedule, and some coping strategies to deal with his anxiety, he was able to bring his symptoms under control. Now, let me remind you, this is a believer, sold out for the kingdom of God, yet his life circumstances led him to a place of burdensome pain that made him feel like he was dying. Here it is. Something that hurt him in the emotional place affected him in his physical place. And what I'm discovering, beloved, ignoring our pain, ignoring our symptoms, will only make things worse. Child of God, How are you feeling? How are you feeling? Now, I'm not asking you what you've got going on or how much money you have or don't have, but how are you doing? Y'all help me, preachers. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, how you doing? See, what we do, beloved, I want you to hear me clearly. What our natural tendency is to do is rather than address our issues, we adjust to our issues. So I got to tell this story again. Y'all know when I got out of college, I bought me a Nissan Sentra. 5-speed, S-E-R. It was bad. It was black. It was bad. But I drove so badly, I wrecked that thing and just tore it up. And it got to the point where I didn't have no money. I told you I was fresh out of college. And so the way I used to slow down is I used to downshift. I'm talking about adjusting to our problems. That's how I downshifted when I wanted to slow down. But then not long thereafter, when I downshifted, my gears began to make a horrible sound. The average person would have taken their car to the shop, but since I was broke, rather than address the problem, I adjusted to the problem. I need some help up in here. So rather than downshift, here's what I do. When I wanted to slow down, then I would take the car out of gear, put it in neutral, and just use my brakes. Then I discovered that doing that as frequently as I was doing it caused my brake pads to wear out. See, when you don't address the problem, they'll spread. I'm preaching before I start. So then here's what I would do. When I needed to slow down, I couldn't downshift. I couldn't use my brake. So I would take the car out of gear, Deke. I would put it in neutral, and I would just coast. And see, what's happening with many of us under the sound of my voice, there have been issues that have been popping up in your life, situations trying to get your attention, and rather than address the problems, you ignore them, so all you can do now is just coast. And that's how some of us are living. We're just coasting through life. We're not addressing anything. We just go along to get along. Do I have a witness up in here? But I'm here to let you know, beloved, that we have to address the issues of the heart. So as we learned on last Sunday, our natural tendency is to hide our failures, our struggles. Additionally, we have a tendency to pretend that what we are feeling is irrelevant. And as a consequence, we believe we can suppress it with busyness or indifference. But I'm here to let you know that if you don't address your stuff will address you. Preach, Pastor Brown. If you don't deal with these issues that you've been carrying around since you were a teenager, I guarantee you, you can be 50, 60, 70, and you're still dealing with that. I ain't got no help up in here, but I'm here to let you know that every single one of us has some things that we're dealing with. Lord Jesus is communicating with the believers and those who would be believers. And he helps me to understand, get ready to write, that we've all been worn down. Come on, somebody. We've all been worn down or weary, says the text. We've all been worn down. Weary. Every single person under the sound of my voice, whether you're 4 or 45, 15 or 50, we've all been worn down. The psalmist declares in Psalm 34 and 8, "For my iniquities have flooded over my head. They are a burden too heavy for me to bear." Worn down. And it's amazing how the things seem to just kind of compound themselves. You have an issue with your attitude. Help me, somebody. And then that attitude caused you to be at odds with your supervisor. Then you run the risk of losing your job. Then you lose your job. But that attitude follows you to the unemployment office. And that bad attitude gets on the person who's been assigned to you, and they don't want to help you neither. I'm here to let you know, child of God, if you don't address the issues of your emotions, they will get the best of you. Worn down. I'm a living testimony. I'm a living witness. I'm before you now. I have been worn down. It is a frequent occurrence for the pastor. Weary. At times, life can feel like a gas tank with a leak. You know, soon after filling up, the gas light comes right back on. Ain't nobody ever done that. It's like, didn't I just put gas in this car? I know I just... Let me find my receipts. I know. But when you get to going and moving, you lose track of time. Why? Because you're coasting. Somebody say worn down. Not only worn down and weary, we've also been under the weight. Under the weight. Burdened. Burdened. For the believer, we often take on weights that we should place upon the altar. Meaning, we carry stuff that the Lord never intended us to carry. Let me call a few of them. Want to hear it? Here it go. The one thing that we carry is unforgiveness. Yep. Everybody ain't looking at me. It must be you. That's not even a part on your nose. You're just looking down. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. And it has literally destroyed the lives of generations. Now, I'm not talking about unchristians or pre-Christians or unbelievers. I'm talking about us. Somebody say unforgiveness. Secondly, extended grief. Extended grief. When you never get the help that you need to release a loved one back to the Lord. And you literally repeat their death day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out. I'm not telling you not to grieve, because that's a part of life. But what hurts us is the extended grief that many of us live up under. We feel that we're doing them a disservice if we move on with our lives. Unforgiveness, extended grief, and here's the third one, decades-old pain. Decades-old pain. Decades. Stuff that happened to you when you were single digits. I didn't expect, that wasn't supposed to be funny. Why y'all laughing? This is emotional. What y'all laughing at? Get serious. Somebody's laughing too hard. Single digits, and you never addressed it. You just suppressed it. Now, I want you to know there are some things the Spirit can and will do. There are some things the Word of God can and will do. There are some things that other believers can support you in that. But let me tell you, if you don't take ownership of where you are, then none of those support mechanisms can help you. And so time has a way of robbing us of the joy that the Lord himself provides. And you know, that's what I see as your pastor. I see us putting on the mask of smiling. Some of y'all ain't trying no more. But putting on the mask of smiling. And it becomes a performance. Because you don't realize you're a human being, not just a human doing. And so you're not being who you really are. So as it relates to our spiritual and emotional wholeness and wellness, Jesus offers every believer, thank you, Lord, an opportunity to experience real satisfaction in exchange for the weariness of life. Jesus calls it, get ready to write, rest. I need you to get that. Rest. Jesus calls it rest, physical and spiritual peace based upon an eternal relationship. He offers us rest. Now, I don't want you to turn me off and say, Pastor, I've read this verse before. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm good. No. Because all too often, y'all, those of us who really believe we got it all under control, go and finish the statement. We're the main ones who are really struggling. Oh, y'all, don't look at me with that tone of voice. The main ones who act like they got it all together, Steve Brown, are the main ones who cry themselves to sleep. The main ones who have all the issues of interpersonal conflict and relationships. See, if I'm your problem, I'll take ownership of it. But if you got a problem with me and everybody else, then I ain't your problem. I ain't got no help up in here. And you, beloved, me, we have to take ownership and be willing to receive the rest that's available. So here's the question. Do we desire rest or do we desire control? Should be a question mark there. Do we desire rest or do we desire control? Control. 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 Got my own mind. Gonna make my own decisions. Be the one who's in control. Control is when we attempt to dictate our environment, pretending we've got everything under control. So we manipulate our relationships, we keep up appearances, but in reality, we're living lives of quiet desperation. We've exchanged control for rest. We want control. And we don't want to receive what the Lord is trying to give to us because we feel it costs too much. So the text is teaching us that it's all about the hookup. Let me lighten it up. Y'all getting a little heavy. Amen. Somebody say the hookup. Come on, say the hookup. I told you I had a raggedy car. The hookup. Several years ago, I was in my jacked up ride, my Nissan Sentra SCR. It was black with a 5-speed. It was bad, Khadijah. It was bad. And so one day I was headed to an engagement. And y'all, I was clean. I'm not boasting, but I was clean. And in my jacked up ride, but I was clean when suddenly my ride conked out. So pull over to the side of the road and get out like men do, let the hood up, went in front of the hood and just stood there. Yeah, that's the engine. Battery, the cable thing there. I ain't got no clue what I'm looking at. And at the same time, I noticed my tire was flat. But y'all, I told y'all I was clean though. So you can't change no flat. Y'all stay awake. I'm almost finished. You can't change no flat when you're clean. I'm talking about the hookup, y'all. So I do what everyone else does. I called AAA. Don't look at me like that. I called AAA and AAA comes on the scene and the brother shows up, hooks up my ride. Now, my car ain't moving. But because I'm hooked up, yoked up to his tow truck, help me hold the spirit, I'm rolling again. See, my relationship with AAA meant that they would take care of everything. It's a benefit of membership. I'm coming down your block now. Jesus Christ has an open invitation to all who will come to him to receive his holy hookup. Is there a witness in the house that can testify that being connected
Being hooked up has benefits. Oh, I feel like preaching up in here. He'll give you grace for your guilt. He'll give you peace for your pain. He'll give you mercy for your misery. He'll give you joy for the journey. And he'll give you salvation for your soul. Somebody say, the hookup.
Yeah. Come on up in here. It's a hookup. So watch this. This offer by Christ to those who willingly receive it gives the recipient an eternal purpose. Watch this. To the difficulties of life. See, you got to know, according to Romans 8 and 28, that there is a purpose from heaven for your earthly toil. He says, we know, thank you, Lord, that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. All of who you are and all of what happens to you under the guidance of the sovereignty of God combine forces for your good. So I don't want you to walk around here feeling horrible about yourself because of your emotional stuff. We throw these words around too loose. Somebody is crazy. They're not crazy. They got some emotional stuff. Calling someone crazy is dismissive. It's easy. And so it is our responsibility as a community to come alongside and help you. So Jesus is offering this. Let me dig into this. He's offering this to all who will receive. Verse 25 said, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure. All things have been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son desires to reveal. Let me give you these three things that are still laying our foundation for this series. Here it is, number one. Trust in the one sent by the Father. I want you to get that down. Trust in the one sent by the Father. Say that with me. Trust in the one sent by the Father. Why, Pastor? Why? Because he has come to satisfy you. Our fulfillment comes from above. I need you to understand that. But all too often, we believe our fulfillment comes from other things. And so we kill ourselves working jobs. We kill ourselves buying stuff. We kill ourselves trying to get other folk to like us. We don't understand if we had all of the stuff that the world says we should have, y'all, we would still be unfulfilled. And this is the root for some of us. We're trying our best and we want to do it the Lord's way. But let me tell some, you got to trust in the one sent by the Father. As we continually trust him, he will continually meet us at our points of need. He'll even take our emotional challenges and guide us toward healing and wholeness. Now, we're talking about emotions, y'all, and we understand some of those are anger, bitterness, frustration, hatred, love. Now, these emotions, they're innocent. But when we get a hold to them, we mess them up. Remember, I taught you last week that everything we are, God made it. So he gave us all this stuff. But when we function without following him or trusting in his word or getting the support of others to God. Y'all, we messed this thing up. And so I'm just calling us to be recentered on the one who is foundational. This man was flying his plane and he noticed this cloud. He wanted to fly into this cloud. I guess that's what pilots do. I don't know. And as he got in the midst of the cloud, he got a bit discombobulated. He pulled up, still in the cloud, pushed down, still in the cloud. He was just, he couldn't get out of the cloud. And he began to perspire and to panic. And his emotions was telling him to do something, but something said, look at your control panel. Now, he felt like he was upside down. He felt like things had gotten completely awry, but the control panel said that he was still level. So rather than, thank you, Lord, rather than trust his emotions, he trusted the control panel. I'm coming down somebody's block right here. Rather than trust how he felt in that moment, he trusted in the panel that was given to him to measure all of his instruments, and that decision to trust his instrument panel saved his life. When he came out of the cloud, he realized he wasn't even far from the ground. So had he gone down like he started to, he would have crashed and ended his life. Pastor Brown, what are you saying? Oftentimes our emotions and feelings will lead us into defeat. But the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, coupled with his word, are an instrument that gives us guidance. Trust in the one sent by the Father. He came to satisfy you. Stop trusting these Facebook philosophers. These Facebook live preachers. And there's nothing in and of itself wrong with Facebook. That's not what I'm saying. But some of y'all will give them more credence than you do your pastor. Then you will the Lord himself. Let me press on. Somebody say, trust in the one sent by the Father. Secondly, this is second is so important. Not only trust in the one sent by the Father. Secondly, take his offer, yoke of discipleship. Take his offer, which is the yoke of discipleship. The text says in verse 29, take my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest, hallelujah, for your souls. Take his offer of discipleship. Now, you've seen an oxen or a mule or even a horse. Yoke is that thing they put around them to kind of help them to go side by side. You've seen that before, even if you've never been to the country. Hey, amen. You got televisions. All right. Don't and Google it while I'm preaching, okay? Just. And so the Lord is saying, I want you to take my yoke. And that's the hookup. There it is. That I'm giving to you. Somebody say, hook up. Take his offer. Take it. Receive it. But understand, beloved, that it is an offer of discipleship. Oh, help me up in here, somebody. See, he came to save you, and he came to take you from where you are to where he wants you to be. Warren Wiersbe, who just passed away a day or so ago, one of my favorite theologians, put it this way. He says, when we take his yoke and learn, we find rest, that deeper rest of surrender and obedience. The first is peace with God. I like that. The second, says Warren Wiersbe, is the peace of God. Oh, that's a word for somebody up in here. When you take his yoke, you become at that instant at peace with God. No more condemnation. No more death, hell, and the grave. You're a child of the King. But then simultaneously, you get a peace that surpasses all understanding. So you may feel like pulling your hair out. But somebody looks at you, you're seated, clothed, and in your right mind. I got a witness over there on the second row that when you got the peace of God, you can go through cancer treatment,
You can go through the loss of a loved one and you can still have a praise on your lips.
So the offer that the Lord Jesus gives us in his yoke does not bog us down, but lifts us up. So my challenge for us is, yo, we got all these other yokes that we hooked up with. All this stuff that we're attaching to the yoke of Christ. And it's causing us to be burdened down and worn out. Much of what challenges in life will weigh us down. Those weights have a way of distracting us from the one who has come to lift us up. So ultimately, it's about focus. Somebody say focus. It's also about trust. Somebody say trust. So since God created us, Psalm 139, 13, he knows all about us. He has a solution to all our situations. So the Lord Jesus is declaring, as we learn from him, we grow. As we grow, we gain deeper insight into ourselves. See, I've stopped fooling myself. I can no longer fake it till I make it. I'm going to stop telling people I'm all right when I ain't all right. So you better stop asking, because I'm going to give you the truth. If you ask me how I'm doing, I say, I'm trying to make it. But you know, my wife was unemployed since June, but I'm still trying to make it. You ask me how I'm doing, I'm going to say, listen, my daddy is going from here and there. I don't know where he is, but we praying for him and we trying to, don't look at me like that. Don't ask me if you don't want to know. All that I'm good, I'm fine, I'm blessed, that's out the window. You ask me, you gonna get the truth. Is there a witness in the house that's tired of faking, tired of pretending, tired of posing? Look at your neighbor and say, if you don't want to know, don't ask me. I'm done. Let's go. He said, trust in the one sent by the Father. He came to satisfy you. Take his offer, his yoke of discipleship. He came to save you. Finally, be transformed into his image. I mean, this is important. Be transformed into his image. Verse 29 again says, take my yoke and learn from me. That's discipleship. Because I am lowly and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your soul. Here it is. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Be transformed into his image. He came to seal. Thank you, Lord. You. Jesus offers us a lighter load, a life of rest, and a life of transformation. But he does it from the inside out, not the outside in. And his ultimate goal for us is that we would become and behave more like him. That's where the transformation is. We behave and become more like him. He says in the text, you'll know that you're more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the two descriptions. Lowly and humble in heart, right there in your verse. Lowly, and you better underline it, lowly and humble in heart. See, as we approach life's challenges, emotional or otherwise, we begin to respond like Christ. Our new responses give us new chances to show off his glory. So when we respond in a manner that the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us, the Lord then will give us another opportunity to let our light shine before men, thus giving him glory. See, the world wants to believe in the God with whom our trust is. And so they use us as a gauge. So when we're really satisfied with Christ, even the most difficult situation becomes more bearable. Not because it ain't bad. Not because it doesn't hurt. And not because we're that spiritual, but it's because we're hooked up, yoked up to the one doing the heavy lifting. I'm finished this story and I'm done. I was watching Simone ride her bicycle the other day. And y'all, she can ride that bicycle. I'm here to tell you. She was as carefree as a six-year-old could be, reaching high speeds, turning corners on a dime. It was like a maze. It was like speed race. She was just going up and down that street. She can go. And there's so much joy on her face as she rides and turns those corners on the dime. But see, I noticed why she's so free. She's got a set of training wheels. And so she has these training wheels, y'all. Now they're hooked up to the bicycle. They allow her to do all these fancy moves. She stand up on the seat. She put her legs up in the air. She sits backwards. She's able to do all of this, y'all, because she got training wheels on her. I need a witness up in here, child of God. Jesus is our training wheel. As we journey through life, He has a way of holding us up, guiding us through our grief, leading us in our pain, holding us when we're falling down. See, child of God, it ain't you, but it's the Jesus on the inside. I feel my help up in here. Is there a witness in the house that can testify that when life seems to go left, when life seems to go right, when life knocks you upside your head, you ought to be on the ground, but because you're hooked up to Jesus. Hey, Jesus has a way of holding you up. Can I get a witness up in the house that can testify what a friend we have in Jesus? All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Hallelujah. Give God some praise right there. Come on, come on. I've gone long. Everybody stand up. Come on, let's stand up. I want you to grab your neighbor's hand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody moving. Grab your neighbor's hand. Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for this privilege. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the yoke that he provides for us. We thank you for the stability we have in Christ Jesus. We thank you for every good and perfect gift that comes from above. We thank you for our challenges. We thank you for our problems. We thank you for how you're working those things out for our good and for our glory. Now, Lord, we acknowledge the pain. The pain that we cover up. The pain that we pretend is not there. And Father, by faith, we seek to do an exchange. Our pain for your peace. Thank you, Lord. Your mercy for our misery. Father, we're tired of pretending and act like everything is great. So, Lord, we understand this is not a salvation issue. This is an emotional issue. For some, if we're honest, it's a mental issue. So, Father, as we dig a little deeper into your word and into our lives, give us the courage to trust in the one you've sent, Father. To take that yoke that lifts us up. Father, the hands that we hold now, we pray blessings upon them. We pray healing on them, Lord. We pray that you'd minister to them by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, these are our brothers and sisters, Lord. Lord, we care for them. We want them to be whole. We want them to be renewed, restored, revived. Father, help us to look into our brothers and sisters' eyes and see their heart and their pain. Help us to come alongside our brothers and sisters to support, to encourage, to exhort. Thank you, Lord, for this moment. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let everybody say amen.